Richmond Independent Radio, radio for the rest of us. Thanks for your patience as we experienced a little bit of technical difficulties at the top of this hour, but we're back at it now. My name is Elaine Summerfield. I'm your host for Inspire Indeed, where we're learning about community issues and the nonprofits and engaged citizens that are working to address them. We really hope that you'll be inspired to think about how you're going to go out and make a difference with your deeds. You know, last week the Supreme Court heard arguments about striking down the Federal Defense of Marriage Act and California's Prop 8, which bans same-sex marriage. And in the midst of the Supreme Court arguments, one by one, public officials were coming out as supportive of gay marriage, even though they may have voted for DOMA in the past. This really signaled a change in the mood in the country regarding this issue. But, you know, with all these arguments related to states' rights or what states should do, it really does come down to an issue of equality. And do we want to live in a society where everyone is treated equally? And the last week saw some progress on the issue. It also brought up ugly language, reflected of the continuing prejudice and hate when it comes to individuals who are gay or lesbian, challenging their rights as citizens, telling them that God hates them, telling them that they don't deserve to be equally regarded like the rest of the community. And this negative and threatening language could make those even with the strongest constitutions at some point in their lives pause and wonder if there might be something wrong with them. And for LGBTQ youth, lesbian, gay, bi, trans, or questioning youth who are struggling to assert their own identities, it's extremely challenging when daily confronting negative images and languages from the media, as well as taunting and bullying on a personal level. Luckily in Richmond, we have RoseMe, a nonprofit that provides support for LGBTQ youth and also educates the broader community about how to be more inclusive. Beth Panelitis is the executive director of RoseMe, and she's with us here today to share more. Welcome, Beth.
Thanks, Elaine. Great to be here.
It's great to have you. So, unfortunately, we don't have quite as much time as we thought we'd have, but we still have a lot of time to cover what RoseMe is all about. Why don't you start by giving us a brief history about what RoseMe is accomplishing and what the mission is that you're working towards?
So in 1991, a group of community members came together and realized that there was a huge unmet need in Richmond. Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and questioning youth had no support services. And from those dedicated community volunteers sprung this organization. So 22 years later, we look a little bit different, but we provide a wide range of support services to the community. And so our mission is to ensure equal opportunities for success for Virginia's LGBTQ youth. And we do that through a range of support groups on a weekly basis, a leadership program, some arts initiatives, crisis intervention, and then some fun community building activities. Right now, the youth are planning their alternative prom, which happens in May.
Great. So you have a wide array of ways that you're addressing this issue. But can you tell me a little bit about, before we get into specific services and programs, a little bit about why it's so important to provide these services? Like what are LGBTQ youth facing that maybe other youth may not be?
Well, you know, I'm still amazed by the statistics in 2013, with LGBT youth being four times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers. On a regular basis, these young people face verbal and physical harassment at school. Many face family rejection. And so there's a heightened risk factor, or a lot of risk factors for this population that needs to specifically be addressed in a safe and supportive environment.
So that's what RoseMe is providing. So why don't you get into some of the details of how those programs are accessible by youth?
Sure. Well, the majority of our programs are open to youth 14 through 20. Our largest program is a general support group where we cover everything from healthy relationships to peer pressure to doing craft nights sometimes. It's really youth-driven where we ask youth what the needs are that they have, what kind of programs would they like to see. Many times youth who graduate from that program will go on to our leadership program where they learn about public speaking skills and college prep, and those are the youth who plan our prom and some of our fun activities. We have a transgender-specific support group, which is, of that LGBTQ spectrum, the most at-risk group. And then in January, we launched a middle school group. So historically, we started serving youth at age 14, but really saw an emerging need for younger youth to access services. And so we serve 11, 12, and 13-year-old youth for that support group.
So through support groups. And so your supports are running throughout the week? Is that right?
They are. We have programs Monday through Thursday evening, drop-in hours Monday through Friday.
Okay. So, and how can people find out about when they could come drop in on those groups?
Well, there's a couple of different ways you can find out. You can visit our website, which is just rosemy.org, or give us a call on our youth support hotline, which is a 24-hour number, and it's 888-644-4390, and we can tell you more about programs.
Give us that hotline number one more time.
Sure, 888-644-4390.
And that's intended for the youth. Now, what about family members who maybe are seeking support as family members, maybe a sibling or a parent of somebody who's LGBTQ?
We frequently talk to siblings, parents, teachers, and they can also give us a call to either process through what some of those issues might be. Specifically for parents, we have a great collaborative relationship with PFLAG, which is a parent group where they meet in our building and we refer parents to that group. And we also can connect parents to another individual, another parent who's gone through a similar experience, mm-hmm. To be able to just sit down one-on-one and have that type of peer support.
Well, that's very positive. So you mentioned also that you do some work with other providers of services for youth, educational opportunities. Tell us about that.
We do. So in 2008, the organization took a long, hard look at ourselves and realized not every young person who needs services in the greater Richmond area can or will walk through our doors. So how do we start creating systemic change and making our community as a whole safer? So we have something called the Institute for Equality, where we have a six-hour training that we will provide to school personnel, human service providers, mental health workers, really anyone who works with young people on how to address the risk factors and unique needs of this population. It's a training that we can cater to what your specific needs are in your agency or school and your time constraints. So we can do something that's a half an hour or all the way to this full six-hour training based on those needs.
So a school could contact Rosemy and say we're trying to discuss how to approach this issue, and you could come in and provide a specific facilitated training. Is that how it works?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So we will get a request and discuss with that school what exactly they're looking for. We've gone in many times and done trainings for staff, so maybe specifically for teachers. We've done a lot of trainings with school counselors, but we can definitely fit it to that specific school's needs.
So schools, but also other providers of services for youth, right?
Absolutely.
Can you give us some examples of how those services might have made a difference in an institution or an organization?
We've seen them make a difference quite a bit. We've done a lot of trainings with foster care workers and foster parents. And I think one of the big things that we see, especially in schools, we have Rosemy youth who attend programs who go to some of those schools. And so we've sort of seen firsthand when youth will come in and over the course of a year or a year and a half from the training happening, the changes that they've seen. So really the school climate becoming more inclusive, when derogatory comments are made, teachers intervening. And so the climate as a whole is physically, emotionally safer for young people.
So when you say teachers intervene, so part of what Rosemy is helping teachers do is identify times when that bullying or maybe taking place, mm-hmm. and not sitting back and thinking, well, boys will be boys or whatever, but actually stepping in and saying, hey, that's not cool. That's not right.
Absolutely. And giving the skills to do that, because it's something where we don't inherently know how to have those interventions. And so let's figure out how we can develop those skills so that those interventions can happen. And a lot of what we do with the training, too, is just understanding sexual orientation and gender identity. Sometimes I think people are hesitant to address those needs because they're not sure if they have enough knowledge. And so making sure that we provide that resource.
Right. So it's really interesting that ROSME is providing services at that individual level for the individual youth, then the family surrounding that youth, and then the institutions surrounding that youth as well. So you're trying to impact the issue on many different levels, it sounds like.
We are. And a lot of the reason for that is that we're the only organization in the area who's providing these resources. And so when we decided to expand to have the training program 5 years ago, we realized that we were the organization who had the capacity and had the experience to do it, and making sure that we're filling those service gaps.
Now, you have to admit that not everybody positively receives your services. I mean, in a sense that some people feel like, well, this is not right. And have you run into that kind of resistance going into an institution?
Absolutely. I think our staff is really, we sit down and talk about how to address those issues, because we've had some pretty combative reactions when we've gone in to do trainings. And what I always tell folks is that this is not necessarily about gay rights. This is a child welfare issue. And so if you're in a school or you are a youth worker, your number one goal is to make sure that the children who are in your care are safe, so that then you can go on and teach or whatever the goals are. And so we all have a responsibility of making sure that young people are safe. And that's when we've really been able to join and connect and build a rapport with folks who may not be at a place of full acceptance and inclusion, but they know that they don't want young people to be committing suicide. They don't want young people to end up on the streets. And so we can really find that common ground and say, how do we make our community safe?
That's exciting to think that you've found a way to make that bridge that gap and find that common ground, because that's where you can start to have real dialogue. And often where you might be meeting resistance, that's where your services may be needed the most.
Absolutely. And that's why we don't turn away from those experiences, especially when we know walking in it may not be the easiest. That's where we are absolutely needed the most.
Yeah. So why don't we talk, we have a few minutes left. Why don't we talk a little bit about how people can get involved? I know you rely a lot on volunteers for a variety of services. Tell us how a volunteer might get involved with ROSME.
We do. We have a small staff, and volunteers are critical. So you can become involved working directly with youth. So we have our support group facilitators, which there's a process to go through and training for that. And then there's also getting involved sort of on more of a committee level. And so whether that be finance or development or programs and services, wherever your skills are and your passion is, we can plug you into one of those areas.
Great. And then go to your website to find out how to hook up?
The volunteer opportunities are on our website. ROSME.org, ROSMY.org, or you can give us a call.
Okay, great. And you have special events coming up this spring, correct?
We do. We have our big annual spring event, which is called ROSME Springtime, and the theme this year, it's a jazzy affair. It's down at the Hippodrome, which is such a neat location.
Oh, that's a great location.
And so we have a jazz theme and an extensive silent auction, and also we're presenting the Catalyst Awards, which we do annually, to an individual organization and faith community who have made a real difference in the lives of LGBTQ youth.
And that's what date?
It's April 20th from 7 to 11. And you can find information about that actually on our website as well.
So on April, what day of the week is that? April
it's a 20th. Saturday night.
Saturday night, down at the Hippodrome. It sounds like a great time. And then so that's for supporters of ROSME that are interested in finding a way to have a good time and provide some support for you all. But you also have the event with the youth in May, the prom you mentioned briefly earlier, right?
We do. We have prom, which will be held over at the Unitarian Universalist Church, which is a great space, and it's open for youth 14 through 20. And for more information, we have there's a Facebook event page about it, and you can also give us a call at the office, which is just 644-4800, to find out more details, and that's May 11th, which is also a Saturday evening.
And could you use volunteer chaperones and such for that event?
We don't. We're actually all covered as far as volunteer chaperones for that event.
Okay.
So I would encourage folks to sign up and get involved with support group facilitation, and then we use those volunteers actually for chaperoning events too.
Okay, great. That's good to know. Now, you had mentioned earlier that you started working with some of the younger youth, like the middle schoolers, and Rosemary's been around for a while. So I'm curious to hear from you how you've seen the issue change and evolve over the past several years.
Yeah, so Richmond, Virginia in 2013 is a radically different place than it was in 1991, especially when it comes to LGBT issues. So what we were seeing when we were founded is very different than what we see now. And part of that is public awareness. You know, we're talking about gay and lesbian issues in the mainstream media. And so young people have language to use and put to the feelings that they have. So we're seeing middle school youth come out at 11 or 12 years old, or just start questioning their sexual orientation and having the language to be able to communicate that. And when we developed that program, our youth programs director and I sat down and we said, you know what? Both of us are sick of saying we don't have resources when we get tons and tons of calls from parents and youth and teachers. And we said, it's time for us to really address this need. Because middle school is the time where people have their first crush, and that's no different for gay and lesbian youth. That's the time that they have their first crush, and we're in an environment now where young people say that, but it doesn't mean that it's necessarily taken well. And so, you know, we see a lot more bullying and harassment in middle schools than we even do in high schools.
Right.
So making sure that we really wanted to address that specific age group.
Well, that's great that you're able to recognize that need and then find a way to respond to that, because I guess that's part of what Rosemary's done over time. You've watched the issues and trends, and you've found a way to respond in kind, like through beefing up your training and then expanding the age range of your services.
Right. I mean, you look at kind of where we came from and where we are now. In the early 90s, Rosemary was, quote unquote, in the closet. We didn't publish our address. You had to call a number because of sort of safety concerns.
Yeah, and I was going to say, it was probably a little bit dangerous or something at that time.
And where we are now is so different from that. And I'm really thankful that I think the Richmond community has been embracing the services that Rosemary provides more and more over time, which has been a great thing to see.
That is great to see. I mean, really, it's great for the youth that are benefiting from your services. So that's inspiring for you to keep going. So what else kind of keeps you going? Are there any particular stories that you hold close to your heart that kind of keep you going day in, day out?
There are. I mean, it seems whenever we have one of those trainings that's difficult, we have youth come in who just share amazing stories. I mean, and one of them, we had a young person who came in and for the first 3 months that they were with us, didn't speak in groups, had really, really a difficult home life, faced tons of bullying at school, was thinking about dropping out of high school. Fast forward 2 years, that young person not only went through support groups, completed our leadership program, is self-confident, went down to the General Assembly to advocate for her rights. I mean, there's been this transformational experience. And it's because for the first time in a long time, she felt heard and she felt a sense of community. And there were people who were there who were caring for her just the way she was.
Oh, that's awesome. It actually brings tears to my eyes a little bit. That's very inspiring. So I can see why you do want to continue your leadership role at Rosemary, Beth. If you're just joining us, I have been speaking with Beth Panelitis. She's executive director of Rosemary. And you can learn more about Rosemary at rosmy.org, correct, Beth?
Mm-hmm,
and about their upcoming events. They have a spring event, a spring fundraiser on April 20th, and then also the prom for youth on May 11th. So look out for those details. Maybe we could send somebody out to get some footage from those events, too. That would be fun.
That would be great.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much. And I'd also like to say thanks to Andrew Haas for engineering the show and to Brittany Tracy for volunteering on the board. We really rely on our volunteers down here at WRIR.org, and we really appreciate your support as well. You've been listening to Inspire Indeed. I hope you've been inspired to think about how you might make a difference with your deeds.